My guest at this time is retired U.S. Air Force Lieutenant General Tom McInerney. He served as Assistant Vice Chief of Staff. That's the number three position in the Air Force. And he also served as Vice Commander-in-Chief for U.S. Air Forces in Europe. He joins me now to discuss what the proper U.S. response ought to be to the apparent use of chemical weapons once again by the Assad regime in Syria. And General, thanks so much for being with us.
Glad to be with you, Greg.
We saw President Trump order missile strikes against a Syrian airfield last year in response to a chemical weapons attack. He's now promising publicly to respond again. I'm hearing a lot of people, I'm sure you are too, saying that the response needs to be more intense this time, but not so severe that it compels Iran or Russia to get involved. So what do you think is appropriate and what do you think will happen?
Well, first of all, we fired 59 cruise missiles last time. He did it rather quickly. This time he has been thinking quite a bit about the problem, despite saying he's going to respond within 24 to 48 hours, because I think his advisors, national security advisors, have advised him, let's get a coalition involved with this to include the UK, French, perhaps the Jordanians, Egyptians, Israelis, even Saudis and Emiratis, a coalition of the willing, if you will, that can represent a very broad front. Now, we've got to be and reconfirm with the most precise accuracy that it was the Assad regime that did this. And the reason I say that is because al-Nusra was looking for chlorine stocks a number of months ago, and it would be in their interest to want to keep the U.S. involved and the U.S. to attack the Assad forces. So let's just make absolutely sure, Greg, that this is completely verified by a number of different nations.
Is that easy to do?
Well, they've got to do that. They just can't go off half-cocked on this because the Israelis struck immediately the airfield called T-4. Now, that would indicate that's where the sources came from. Was it an airplane? Was it an airplane with barrel bombs, or was it an IED? Because we know the al-Nusra forces do not have aircraft. Now, we are monitoring those airfields with AWACS. Did we have an AWACS airborne? And I'm just talking about different monitoring devices. Did our SIGINT pick it up? What are the indications of what the weapons, chlorine weapons, how did they come in? And so that's not difficult to do, but it may take a little more time. Now, but let's say that we do verify it, that it is, in fact, the Assad forces, and I think we have to eliminate his air force. Is that difficult to do? Yes, it is, because he, in fact, has moved his forces on Russian bases with Iranians. I'm not worried about killing Iranians. I think they need to be pushed back, and, of course, the Israelis are very concerned about the Shia crescent that is sweeping across. It is a very complex environment over there. You've got Assad forces, you've got Iranian forces, you've got Russian forces. You still have remnants of ISIS in about five different small pockets. You've got large forces of Kurds in the eastern part of the country that have taken over. Then you've got Syrian Free Army forces, which can sometimes swing in either direction. They can be radical Islamists like al-Nusra, or they can be democratically inclined. So it is complex. We have not laid out a clear and specific Syrian strategy. And because of the complexity and the Russians and Iranians there, it makes it more complicated. Again, I'm worried about the Russians. And because the Democratic Party laid in this false narrative, this fake news of Russian collusion, it has soured the diplomatic relations with the U.S. and Russia, so it's difficult to communicate with them in a reasonable way. That's why the Mueller investigation must be terminated as quickly as possible, because clearly Russia is a great power. Still, it's got lots of nuclear weapons, which can concern us. They are modernizing their nuclear forces, and we do not want to let this get out of control.
What is the message, and how does it change the calculation for Assad, as well as the Iranians and the Russians, if we are to assemble this coalition of the willing, as you phrased it, with the U.S., the French, the Brits, the Saudis, the Jordanians, and others, Israelis, as opposed to just the U.S. doing something similar to what we did last time?
Well, when you have a coalition like this, it means they're all in agreement and they're willing to use their forces. And you have Arab forces. I believe it's important to get Arab forces. They'll turn out to be Sunni Arab forces. And they're interested in pushing back this coalition. But it makes us define the problem more. And part of the issue that is in the U.S. interest is that this Shia coalition of Iran that is now extending all the way from Iran through Iraq, because Iraq, when Obama pulled out, he gave Iraq fundamentally to the Iranians. And then you have Syria with the heavy involvement of Hezbollah and the IRGC. You have this Shia crescent, as they say, that sweeps all the way to the Mediterranean. That is not in our interest. And unfortunately, because Obama's ineptness, he helped create the Russian, the vacuum that the Russians were able to move in on. And so that issue, the complexity that I just described to you, requires some very deep thought and a strategy of how we want to handle the Middle East. We do not want to be bogged down there. That is their problem. But we have important allies there. We want to keep them on our side. And the administration has not yet done that. With John Bolton there, I think we'll get more clarity on it. But it is important to start forming this coalition of the willing of our allies. We do not want to abandon Syria and from my point of view, leaving the Kurds out there hanging high and dry, particularly the way Turkey has been reacting to it. And so I'm a strong believer of cutting down our forces there, which the president announced several weeks ago, but keeping airborne U.S. and allied air power to react to anybody who tries to attack our Kurdish allies there and those allies that helped us defeat ISIS. So it's very difficult, I'm sure, for our listeners to understand the complexity, but we must do it. We must not leave our allies, the Kurds, and others high and dry after they helped us defeat ISIS.
General, obviously there's a major component for the Iranians especially, but also the Syrians, that this is some sort of religious destiny. It's part of their jihad and so forth. The Russians are more of a contract operator, it seems like. They're going to go with wherever the best deal is. So is there a way to peel them off from Syria's side? And if so, what's the best way to do it?
Well, I'm not sure we can peel them off from the Syrian side, because they now have a port in the Mediterranean that the Syrians have traded with them. And I think we've got to be very sensitive to that. That's why this Mueller investigation and this fake news of collusion, which there has been no evidence, but driven by the Democratic Party, who have been trying to desperately impeach this president and complicate his actions. That's why that has got to be closed down very quickly. We have very weak Republican leadership on the Hill, even though we own the House and the Senate. It is very weak, and they have not been backing the president and getting rid of this fake news and all this false innuendo that's going around. And the mainstream media has not been aiding that either. We need to develop a relationship with the Russians that we can agree upon. I'm not a fan of Assad by any means, but the fact is we need stability over there. The Obama administration created a huge mess, and that's what we're left with. And the Trump administration is trying to resolve that, as well as take care of the huge politics here at home that have made it very difficult for this administration. When you have rhinos like John McCain voting against health care reform, when you have people like that are not helping us, we need a solid, unified America to solve this very difficult problem. I haven't given you the solution because we couldn't in this short amount of time. I'm confident that John Bolton's new role there is going to help lay it out, but he's talking about abroad. He's not talking about the complexities of the fake news, of the media, and all those things, the Democratic Party trying to disrupt this administration. It has never happened before in our history. Probably the closest came when Lincoln, in front of the Civil War. But that's why it's so difficult.
General, we'll finish where we began, and that's with what you expect. Given what you said about the effort to build a coalition here, and due to the complexities involving the Russians, as well as the Iranians to some extent, we heard a lot of reports that whatever response is coming is going to come within 48 to 72 hours. Sounds like you would not be surprised if it came considerably later than that.
Yes, because I think the president wants this coalition to be formed, although he hasn't necessarily said it. He's talked with President Macron and Prime Minister May, and there are others. The Qatari president was in, or the leader was in just yesterday, I think, in the White House. So he's talking to others about it. And I think he doesn't want to run off half-cocked, even though he initially gave a very quick response initially.
General, we'll leave it there, and we'll certainly be watching. Thank you, sir, very much for your analysis.
Thanks, Greg.
Retired U.S. Air Force Lieutenant General Tom McInerney. He was also a Fox News military analyst, rose to the position of Assistant Vice Chief of Staff in the Air Force, and also served as Vice Commander-in-Chief for U.S. Air Forces in Europe. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.